हरिः ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहैः ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्रीहाद्वैत गदाधर श्रीपासरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Page 61, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Chapter 13, Five Potent Forms of Devotional Service. Number 8, Shakyam. In regard to worshipping the Lord as a friend, the Augusta Samhita states that a devotee engaged in performing devotional service by Shravanam and Kirtanam sometimes wants to see the Lord personally, and for this purpose he resides in the temple. Elsewhere there is the statement, O my Lord, Supreme Personality of Godhead and Eternal Friend, although you are full of bliss and knowledge, you have become a friend of the residents of Vrindavan. How fortunate are these devotees? In this statement, the word, quote-unquote, friend is specifically used to indicate intense love. Friendship, therefore, is better than servitude. In the stage above Dasya Ras, the devotee accepts the Supreme Lord, Supreme Personality of Godhead, as a friend. This is not at all astonishing, for when a devotee is pure in heart, the opulence of his worship of the deity diminishes as spontaneous love for the Personality of Godhead is manifest. In this regard, Sridhar Swami mentions Sri Dhamma Vipra, who expressed to himself his feelings of obligation, thinking, life after life, may I be connected with Krishna in this friendly attitude. Okay. So, this just wanting to be around, you know, this point of being close to the Lord, having that kind of mood, he's always absorbed in that, or seeing that aspect of the friendship that Krishna, how he reciprocates in that. So, in other words, it's that closeness to the Lord that doesn't have the formality of dasya. Like the other one is, I'm the Lord's servant, but it's a mood of that servant. The other here is also the Sakyam, he's a servant of the Lord, he's rendering service, but it has that more friendly kind of interaction to it. So, this is considered more advanced, right? Up to Dasyam, that's very standard, everybody's involved, but the Sakyam and Atmanivedan are generally considered only if one's more advanced, then these have a tendency to manifest. Nine, Atmanivedan. The word Atmanivedanam refers to the stage at which one who has no motive other than to serve the Lord surrenders everything to the Lord and performs his activities only to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such a devotee is like a cow that is cared for by its master. When cared for by its master, a cow is not in anxiety over its maintenance. Such a cow is always devoted to its master, and it never acts independently, but only for the master's benefit. Some devotees, therefore, consider dedication of the body to the Lord to be Atmanivedanam. And as stated in the book known as Bhakti Viveka, sometimes dedication of the soul to the Lord is called Atmanivedanam. The best examples of Atmanivedanam are found in Bali Maharaj and Ambarish Maharaj. Atmanivedanam is also sometimes found in the behavior of Rukmini Devi at Dwarka. Just that whole mood, it goes beyond that servitor, that closeness to the friend, it's just that full surrender. So you see that kind of flavor. So that was from the purport in seventh canto with the Prahlad Maharaj's instructions on Shravanam Kirtanam. Then now, section B, excerpts from Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Sri Hari Bhakti Kalpa Latika. One, invocation and glory of devotional service. So this seems to go for a bit. This seems to go for a lot of it. Yeah, no, it seems to end this, at least this part of the chapter. Okay. Invocation and glory of devotional service. I offer my humble obeisances unto that blackish, blissful personality, who resembles the new clouds. In spite of being self-satisfied, he mercifully appeared in this world in the land of Raja to enjoy his pastimes with the gopis and other devotees, while pretending to be an expert killer of demons. Let us worship that blissful personality who constantly gives pleasure to the hearts of the gopis. Devotional service to him can transform this temporary material world into the eternal abode of the Lord. And so just by being absorbed in devotional service, then one is not residing in the material world. One's in the spiritual world. Externally, things don't change. But the point is what we consider concrete is our experience. So if that experience, one is always absorbed in the Lord, one's in the spiritual realm. This treasury of devotional service to Lord Hari contains the following: pure fruits, which are one's desire to achieve the goal of life; precious jewels, which are the Vedic literatures; the root of a tree, which is spiritual knowledge; the current of the ocean, which is spiritual bliss; a bridge, which is the means of crossing the ocean of material existence; and stairs, which are the way to the kingdom of immortality. Therefore, who in this world would not pray for that, for the rare supreme treasure of devotional service to Lord Hari? Point two. The devotees of the Lord, the nine processes of devotional service are executed by the devotees. The definition of devotional service and the symptoms of uncontaminated devotional service and love of Godhead. Devotional service to the Lord is obtained only by the mercy of the devotees. The author offers prayers to them. Okay, so it's only by the mercy of the devotees. By Krishna's mercy, then you get the contact of the devotees. But it's the devotees' mercy that then we get devotional service. By the grace of Krishna, one gets Guru. By the grace of Guru, one gets Krishna. Right? Like that. So we say, of course, it's ultimately all Krishna, but that's why the devotees are the major factor, because service is rendered in the association of devotees. I worship those devotees who are devoid of the desire for liberation, who are engaged in welfare activities for the whole world, who are empowered incarnations of the Supreme Lord, and who are attached to the lotus feet of the Lord. Lord Hari, the proprietor of all the universes, leaves his own abode and constantly resides with his devotees, being controlled by their love. I offer my humble obeisances to the feet of the moon-like devotees who have manifested from the ocean of piety. These devotees take pleasure in Sri Krishna and constantly dissipate the darkness of ignorance and the miseries of the material world. The author now describes the characteristics of exalted devotees. The devotees of the Lord constantly hear the holy names and qualities of Mukunda, happily sing the glories of his names and qualities, remember him in every sphere of life, always serve his lotus feet, worship his deity form, offer prayers to him, engage in his service, make friendship with him, and fully surrender to him. In this way, they offer all their activities for the pleasure of the Lord. The devotees are attached to wealth in the form of Krishna. They are attached to friends in the form of Krishna. And they are attached to children in the form of Krishna. They give up everything to achieve Lord Krishna, and he is everything for them. Even though such devotees are surrounded by wealth, home, wives, children, friends, and associates, they offer everything to the service of Lord Krishna. They see is that it's just what they're dealing with is just the Krishna's potencies. And at the same time as they engage, because devotional service means engaging the senses, which are Krishna's potencies. And the senses are engaged with sense object, which are Krishna's potencies. So all that is Krishna. So therefore all that's connected to Krishna. They claim nothing as their own, remaining always like beggars. Even though they are averse to sense gratification, they engage the senses in seeing the form of Sri Hari, hearing his qualities, relishing his remnants, and smelling and touching the flowers that have been offered to him. Right? So they're not into sense gratification. It means engaging the senses not connected to Krishna. But engaging the senses in connection with Krishna, then that's devotional service.
At that level, there's no material desire.
No. In this way, they appear to be materialists from the outside, That's why people can't really understand devotees. Are they karmis? Are they jnanis? Are they, you know, what are they? You know. In this way, they appear to be materialists. The devotees offer their sensual activities, body, mind, intelligence, and life to Lord Krishna without any personal desire. Thus, they conquer the waves of material senses, of the material senses, renouncing all kinds of pious and sinful activities. The devotees serve the lotus feet of Sri Mukunda, which shower an incessant flow of nectar. The devotees' natural qualities are nonviolence, truthfulness, honesty, purity, sobriety, self-control, forgiveness, peacefulness, satisfaction, patience, and many others. The devotees are violent towards sinful activities, uncompromising in controlling their senses, untruthful if necessary for the protection of others, and impatient for the performance of Sri Krishna Sankirtana. The devotees are free from faults such as envy, false ego, pride, arrogance, and untruthfulness. Right? Truth means in connection with Krishna. So if you're protecting the devotees, then if it protects the devotees, which is in connection with Krishna, that's true. Even if by facts it may not be. They are submissive, peaceful, and equipoised. They do not see the three worlds as separate from Lord Vasudeva. That means three worlds means everything. Who is the absolute, independent, blissful, and all-pervading supersoul of all living entities. The devotee's intelligence is fully spiritual. Hence, they do not know any wealth other than pure devotional service, nor any catastrophe greater than forgetfulness of Krishna. Right? That's a catastrophe. Other things are not. Right? Does that make sense? The storm coming tomorrow, that's not a catastrophe. Forgetting Krishna, that's a catastrophe. The devotees are fully absorbed in performing the nine types of devotional service. But Sri Hari Sankirtana is their life and principal activity. The devotees whose minds and intelligence are fully absorbed in the performance of Sri Hari Sankirtana are able to taste the happiness of relishing the sweet mellows of the Lord. The devotees maintain their lives only to attain devotional service to Lord Keshava. They eat Lord Keshava's pure remnants, which are received without much endeavor. That means what comes easily. Right? So it's you make your natural endeavor. Whatever comes, that's what you have. And if nothing comes, you don't have, or something very special comes, then that's what you have. But they don't make a big endeavor for something fancy. Right? It's whatever comes with the standard endeavor. If they're doing something for the deities, they're cooking, you know, it's a festival or some feast, that they make some special endeavor for. But for the regular things, and now, even they've cooked that, now they won't make an extra effort to get the remnants. They do their regular effort. Does that make sense? What is the nature of devotional service? The author replies, let me take shelter of pure devotional service, which bestows the condensed nectar of spiritual bliss. The saintly devotees, being attached to devotional service, do not desire liberation, the eight mystic perfections, or the post of Indra or Brahma. By their service, these devotees bring the Supreme Lord Sri Hari under control. Devotional service of Lord Krishna, which consists of nine processes, is always executed by the devotees. Like the Ganges, it takes away all one's sinful reactions. Like the desire tree, it awards one's desired goal. In this world, those who regularly cultivate the nine types of devotional service to Sri Krishna, as recommended by the great sages, happily attain the Lord's lotus feet. The nine types of devotional service are hearing, chanting, remembering, serving the lotus feet, worshipping, offering prayers, serving as a servant, becoming a friend, and fully surrendering everything to him. When this loving devotional service is performed without regard for the material bodily needs and external senses, it is called the most confidential transcendental devotional service. Its symptoms are as follows. Right? So when all these different things are being performed, the activities, then it takes on its own nature. Then it's confidential devotion, it's devotional service. Engaging the senses, the devotees aren't interested in sense gratification, but they are happily engaged their senses in doing service to the Lord. Right? So that means activities that they do that are recommended, those are called devotional service. They're not piety. Because they have no interest in material bodily needs and external senses, you know, any of these kind of things. Okay, so its symptoms are as follows. Perpetual ecstatic transcendental devotional service is performed by an exalted devotee. The internal mood of such a devotee is indiscriminating, and as soon as he hears the Lord's transcendental qualities, his heart becomes spontaneously attracted to the Supersoul, just like the water of the Ganges automatically and uninterruptedly flows to the ocean. Such a devotee is always sober, devoid of false ego, and equal to everyone. He becomes merged in the ocean of bliss and even forgets his own body. Devotees situated in transcendental love of God do not care for the material world or the spiritual world, or attachment or renunciation. They do not concern themselves with inactivity, nor prescribed duties, nor rules and regulations, nor the mentality of I and mine. Rather, they are always absorbed in thoughts of the blissful Lord Sri Hari. By the mercy of the saintly devotees, let this confidential devotional service, which bestows great transcendental happiness, destroys all miseries, and is executed by the exalted devotees, be constantly present within my heart as my dearmost object. Right. So, as we saw before, they're not performing any activity for any other purpose than pleasing the Lord. So that's why they're not caring for. They're not inactive because they're serving the Lord, but at the same time, it's not about prescribed duties. It's about what is the service to be rendered to the Lord. So there's nothing to obtain for themselves, nothing to gain for themselves on any platform. Physically, the senses, socially, emotionally, intellectually. It's all about what is the opportunities for serving Krishna and what they can do for Krishna. But it's not that they don't understand the nature, but it's a matter of it's doing service to Krishna. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? It's very, yeah.
This is at least Baba Krishna.
This pretty much you would say is like that. Or you might start seeing it happening in Ruchi and Asakti like that. But it's going to be the symptoms of Baba. And not that these symptoms aren't there in moments for others as it goes down. But it's not enough volume to call it Baba, or we wouldn't say it's a, you know, simply because it perpetually. So that would have to mean it's stable. Now we see it's a static transcendental devotional service, so that then would be Baba. But we'll start to see some taste of that, some of that before that. But it's not enough that you call it. That's why we can relate to it, because this has been tasted a moment here, a moment there. So we know what it's talking about, but to be able to be in this position all the time, that's then that's the rare, that's the devotion. That's what we're talking about here. That's Baba Bhakti. Right, because we see is that generally we see is that these are coming up at that stage. Right? 3. The author's prayer for the shelter to the process of devotional service. The author now prays for the 9 activities of devotional service. Right? So it's interesting. He's writing it, and when he puts these lines as third person, and then he writes from himself as first person. Interesting, how you say? Literary application. Oh, my ears, please always hear the qualities and pastimes of Sri Hari. Oh, my tongue, please always chant his holy names and glories. O my mind, please always remember his deity form. O my bodily limbs, please always serve his lotus feet. O my hands, please worship and serve him as a menial servant. O my head, please offer obeisances to him. O myself, please make friendship with him. O my body, please always be subordinate to him. I have not performed religious duties, pious deeds, or austerities. I have no purity, renunciation, good fortune, or knowledge. By the mercy of the devotees, however, I will drink the nectar of the glories of Sri Hari through my ears, and cross beyond the darkness of ignorance. So that's why these things is that we have none of these. But the point is by the mercy that by surrendering to the devotees and always being engaged constantly in the Lord's service, it doesn't matter. Because devotional service is all that's important to cross over the material ocean. So devotional service performed with and under the direction of the pure devotees, that's what will get us across. So it doesn't matter if one hasn't done all these other things. And even if one has done, what religious duty, what pious deed, what austerity could you do that would be a proper exchange for pure devotional service? Right? Nothing, right? So that's why it says, even if someone is on that path, they'll still say, I've not performed, because you haven't performed anything to give that. Does that make sense? Yeah, that's the whole point. Alas, when will I loudly and affectionately chant the holy names of Sri Hari and sing his glories? He is always praised by the saintly devotees. When will my chest become drenched by the tears from my eyes? When will my body become decorated with the symptoms of incomparable ecstatic love, such as my hair standing on end? When will my heart become melted, and when will I roll on the ground, being intoxicated by love of God? If Sri Hari constantly remains present within my heart, then I do not mind taking birth in hell as a result of my previous sinful activities. On the other hand, if Sri Hari is not present within my heart, then I will not get any happiness by owning heaven or earth. Right, so being, you know, owning earth means you're the emperor of the world. You know, and owning heaven means then you're Indra or Brahma or Prajapatis or like this. It still doesn't matter. Rather, they will simply cause pain to my mind. So that's the point. If you're absorbed in Krishna, it doesn't matter where you are. It's a nice place or not. And if you're not absorbed in Krishna, it doesn't matter where you are. It's not a nice place. The author confirms his previous statements. Oh my mind, how long will you enjoy the happiness of material dualities, which are like poison? How long will you remain in the distasteful association of contamination? Please search again and again for the lotus feet of Sri Hari, which are the abode of nectarian bliss. I worship the lotus feet of the son of Nanda, who is the personification of bliss, whose bodily hue is like the new cloud, and who cannot be known even by the best of the demigods. Right, so even Brahma and Shiva can't know him, only if he reveals himself. The great devotees, yearning to understand him, meditate on him as the immeasurable supersoul of all animate and inanimate entities, the spiritual master of everyone, the blissful supreme Brahman, and the absolute truth. O friend of the poor, O master of the fallen souls, I do not pray for an empire, for the position of Indra or Brahma, for knowledge, for mystic perfections, or for a place in the Brahman effulgence. Rather, I fall at your lotus feet and eagerly pray that you may give me your unshakable, pure devotional service. O worshipable Lord of the devotees. Right, so it's not even something within specific within that. Right? It may be, but the point is it has to be pure devotional service. He's not talking about the secondary points of that. It's the devotional service itself. That we have to understand. These secondary aspects are in connection with pure devotional service. We're just talking secondary aspects and not pure devotional service. Then it's just that, secondary aspects. Because we have to remember, if one is in the spiritual position and one's not thinking of Krishna but the secondary aspects, what are the secondary aspects in the spiritual world? Right? What's going on there? Right, everybody's doing devotional service, so it's all those nice things. Everybody's looking very nice, interacting very nice, you know, the arrangements are very nice, all these different things, but you're only caring about that and not Krishna. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point, is that one has to be able to see, is just like, yeah, okay. So it has to be about pure devotional service. Then the details within that now take on, you know, become relishable. But if the details are seen without pure devotion, then it's not as much relishable. O worshipable Lord of the devotees, O spiritual master of the entire universe, O Sri Hari, I am attached to family life. I am always engaged in maintaining my family members. I am attached to material enjoyments. I am decorated with six principles such as lust and anger. I am devoid of piety, and I am engaged in the service of sinful people. Right? Sinful means not connected to Krishna. Right? Still, O my Lord, knowing that your causeless mercy is my only hope, I shamelessly pray for devotional service. Right? So this idea, oh, it's that, so, you know, it's useless, I have to give up, what can I do? No, because it's the natural position. There isn't anything better than devotional service. That's faith. So at this point we see here, despite anything, this is Vishvasa. Vishvasya. Vishvasa. Right? Yeah. Yeah. That faith, that despite anything else, that's just there. The author now describes how one's house and family can become favorable for devotional service. O Madhusudana, even though we are householders, if our wives, children, servants, relatives, well-wishers, and wealth are always engaged in devotional service, and we offer everything to your lotus feet, we are able to conquer you by our service. O Sri Krishna, if we engage our eyes in seeing your beautiful deity form, our ears in hearing your holy names and glories, our noses in smelling the flowers that have been offered to you, our bodies in embracing the devotees, and our tongues in relishing food that has been offered to you, then you are always conquered by us, even though we are engaged in pleasing our senses. Right? So in other words, the senses are being pleased by the service to the Lord, but it's absorption in connection with the Lord. So Krishna doesn't have a problem with that, since he's the senses anyway. Right? He doesn't have a problem with it. The problem is that he's not involved. Does that make sense? It's just like, let's say, the rich man invites you over for dinner. Right? And very nice meal, everything like that, nice arrangements. That you appreciate the meal, you're enjoying yourself, you like the arrangements that are made and enjoying that, that's not the problem for the rich man. Mm-hmm. Right? The problem is when, you know, he's not around or things like that, then you're trying to enjoy the facilities there and going to his refrigerator and check out what's there, or his, you know, his cellar, or, you know, whatever it is that he's got there. That's the problem. So we take it, no, it's the senses being engaged, that's Maya. The senses being engaged is Maya. No, senses being engaged not connected to Krishna is Maya. Senses being engaged in connection to Krishna, that's devotional service. So it's a very important point, because otherwise we say it's just Maya, this is Gyan. Right? Or where it's just being practical and just being natural and that's karma. It's connection to the Lord, that's the thing. So in the beginning it may be mixed, but we have to know this is the standard that moves forward. It's by the Lord's grace. That's what it means, even though we are engaged in pleasing our senses. Because it's so nice because it's connection with Krishna. That's why it's nice. Because not connected to Krishna, it's not actually that nice. If it was nice, there would be standard ways of enjoyment and everybody would be happy that does it. And only those that don't have that wouldn't be happy. Right? But we don't see that those who are rich and have all the top facilities, whatever there is, are happy. Right? I mean, it's just like, let's say, we'll take a topmost level of example. Okay, now, let us say we go to Paris. And there are people there walking around with Louis Vuitton bags. Are they the happiest people on the planet? No. So what happened? Because it said, if you have these things, you'll be happy. You know, you're in the city of, right? You say Paris, the city of love. You have your Louis Vuitton bag. You know, you're speaking in French. But still, they're not happy. Right? If they were happy, why do they keep having so many revolutions and that? Why are the what do you call it? Those guys in the, are they still there? The guys with the yellow vests?
Yes.
Even though all that happened with Notre Dame, they didn't go home?
Every Saturday.
Every Saturday. Oh, okay, now it's not every day, it's just on Saturday. Okay. Okay, so then they just go on Saturday. Bring their beer, sit down, have a yak, bring out the cards. Yeah.
Every week it's a special meeting in some part of France. So many people are going, sometimes in one city, 10,000 people, another week, another one. So people say, do you have money? Because you are traveling so much.
Oh, but it's in different places.
Yes.
And different people, yeah. Yeah.
No, sometimes it is the same people.
Really?
Or the hardcore, you know?
Yeah, but they're trying to get more money, but they're spending all their money.
Yes.
Well, if they just stayed at home and just, you know, had, what do you call it? Get those, what do you call them? The breads?
Yes, baguette.
Baguette, yeah. Get some baguette, get some chocolate, and enjoy themselves.
It is said that till now, actually, the deficit in fuel is a lot because a lot of destruction of some building and that, and also a lot of expenses because we need a policeman army to care.
Yeah, yeah. And all this will come from the taxpayers who are wearing those yellow vests. Yeah, they're not very smart. Everybody does it. They go out there and this, we demand more, and then they burn the buses and all that. Then the government has to make more buses, and then it comes out of their pocket. So, you know.
Next morning, stay late for work, miss out on the job because they burned the bus last night.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to walk to work. They're not smart. That's why it's, you know. What to do? O Lord, if we engage our lust in serving you, our anger against those who blaspheme you, our greed in honoring your remnants, our illusion in trying to achieve your lordships, our ego in being your devotees, and our pride in drinking the honey of your lotus feet, then we may easily defeat these six enemies of lust, anger, greed, illusion, false ego, pride, which are always surrounding us. So they're just connected to the Lord. O Lord, you punish the demons who meditated with enmity upon you by only giving them liberation instead of giving them the nectar of your lotus feet. O Lord, may I obtain your friendship birth after birth. Your friendship is the source of relishing the nectar of your lotus feet. I think that mentioned, yeah, okay. 4. The eternal symptoms and qualities of those who hear the characteristics of Lord Sri Hari's names and who glorify his transcendental qualities, right? So the last one was the general, process of devotional service, right? And before that was the devotees, right? The nature of devotional service and the devotees, yes. So now it'll be the eternal symptoms and qualities of those who hear and chant the Lord's names and qualities. The author now describes the glories of hearing and chanting. To faithfully hear with one's ears the holy names and characteristics of Lord Sri Hari, chanted either by oneself or by others, is called Shravana. To sing the holy names and transcendental qualities of Sri Hari is called Kirtana. When this Kirtana is performed congregationally and with ecstasy, it is called Sankirtana. Right? Otherwise, it means it's a devotional dirge, right? So here with ecstasy, then it's called Sankirtana, right? One who has become fully satisfied by drinking the nectar of Sri Hari's holy names, which are attributed to him according to his pastimes, cannot be distracted by empiric knowledge, explanations of the Vedic literatures, or paths of impersonal liberation. Right, so you won't get distracted by these. Even if you're discussing one you're not interested, or if you're hearing something about some other technical points, then you always relate it back to Krishna, and that always reminds you of the name, form, qualities, and pastimes. Right? Sri Krishna Sankirtana is the essence of all the Vedas and the goal of one's life. Why practice yoga, chant mantras, perform austerities, strive for peacefulness, practice self-control, cultivate spiritual knowledge, perform Vedic sacrifices, or follow rules and regulations if the mellows of Sri Krishna's Sankirtana are always present? Those who are constantly being burnt by the blazing fire of material existence, who are afraid of falling into hellish conditions, and those who desire liberation from sinful activities, should enter into the nectarian ocean of Sri Hari Nam Kirtana. Let those who desire to attain the lotus feet of Sri Hari be immersed in the lake of his glories. Let them see, by the potency of the Supreme Lord's sun-like holy names, his lotus feet, which are covered by the dense darkness of ignorance. Like water flowing without obstruction, Lord Sri Hari has already entered the heart of those who hear about his holy names and characteristics. The Lord manifests in their mouths, from their hearts, and thus Lord Krishna becomes constantly glorified by their tongues. The minds of human beings are restless and polluted due to the influence of Kali Yuga. Even great yogis find it impossible to achieve perfection in their meditation. Therefore, those who desire to attain the lotus feet of Sri Hari should give up all other varieties of sadhana. They should engage in hearing and chanting the holy names and characteristics of Lord Sri Hari. Only those whose dense darkness of illusion has been dissipated by the moon of Sri Hari's holy names and qualities are qualified to see his transcendental qualities within the temple of their heart. Those who faithfully hear and chant the transcendental glories and holy names of Sri Hari find the Lord happily controlled by them. Not finding any other dear and qualified persons, the Lord happily awards them devotional service, which is rare even for the demigods to attain. Right? So not finding any other dear and qualified person means one who does this, there's no one more dear like that. Overwhelmed with love of God due to being always engaged in hearing and chanting the Lord's holy names, some great devotees chant loudly, some chant softly, and some hear his sweet glories. The author now describes the symptoms of such devotees. When such fortunate souls hear and chant the holy names of the Lord, various symptoms arise. They become speechless from emotion. Tears flow from their eyes. They become ecstatic. Their hair stands on end, and they completely forget their external identification. When such devotees relish the glories of the Lord, chanted by another devotee, they become fully intoxicated with spiritual bliss. And out of love, they shamelessly dance, chant loudly, speak without meaning, and laugh just like madmen. Because there's no external identification. They only see themselves as Krishna's servants. And so in that way, then, they're always just absorbed in his service. The great devotees being drowned in the intense waves of love and the attainment of complete spiritual knowledge become uninterested in bodily activities. At that time, due to the happiness from chanting the holy names and characteristics of Sri Hari, they become overwhelmed and are unable to speak. And they benefit the entire world by dancing everywhere. Those who joyfully sing about the abode of Lord Sri Hari and his holy names and characteristics, or who hear those glories from the Mahajanas, have actually taken bath in the Ganges, performed various sacrifices, undergone austerities, and have easily crossed beyond the ocean of material existence. That's why it says they don't care for all these other religious principles and vidhis, because they're getting the benefit from that by being absorbed in the name, form, qualities, and pastimes of the Lord. So it's already, that means those things are to gain something. They already have that. You don't need to do it anymore. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, how you say, you know, when you start a car, you only use the starter until the car starts. Once the car starts, you stop using the starter.
Yes.
Right? So.
It seems very simple.
It is. That's the point. It's that simple. We make it complicated. When Prabhupada said the movement is chanting, dancing, and taking prasad, that's exactly what it is. We say, oh no, but there's so many other things. That's because for us, those other things are important. But if everyone just sits around and hears and chants about the Lord, then how many other things do you need to do? Does that make sense? Yeah. So life becomes very simple. So that's the thing. It is this simple. But one, it's only by Krishna's mercy and the mercy of the Vaishnavas, then one is able to absorb oneself like this. So unless we hear about it and have that attraction for this, why will we get there? Otherwise we'll just be, you know, go from one external activity, you know, secondary activity to another. When, you know, when the secondary activity gets too boring, then we go to another. Does that make sense? The nectar of Sri Hari's holy names and qualities are pure, eternal, blissful, most sweet, most auspicious, full of knowledge, full of transcendental mellows and are the ripened fruit of the creeper of devotional service. Those who drink this nectar attain liberation even while they are living in this world. Those who drink this nectar attain liberation even while they are living in this world. I just read that. They will never again enter into the repeated ocean of birth and death. Yeah, maybe take that in, into the ocean of repeated birth and death. Switch those two. That's how Prabhupada always translates it. But it is an ocean of birth and death, and you know, each universe and each situation. So I mean, it still means the same thing. We just always use it the other way. Five. The glories of remembering Lord Sri Hari, the glories of those who remember him. Okay, the glories of remembering the Lord, the glories of those who remember, and the process result of meditating on the form of the Lord. That makes sense? The glories of remembering the Lord, the glories of those who remember the Lord, and the process the result of remembering the Lord. The author now describes the symptoms of Smarana. Right? So that was Shravanam Kirtanam. Right? So now Smarana. Continuous remembrance of the form of Lord Vishnu, who is the ocean of transcendental bliss, is called Smarana. Right? So continuous remembrance. We'll remember sometimes, then not. So we're doing Smarana during that time, but for someone to be situated there, they're continuously. Right? You know, so that's why Prahlad Maharaj is known for this, because that's what he always is doing. The learned have ascertained that Smarana is remembering the form of Sri Hari, remembering the perfect mantras to achieve his lotus feet, and remembering his holy names. Within the blissful hearts of the most fortunate persons, the son of Sri Nanda has made his residence. Such persons do not run after sinful activities. Their hearts are automatically purified without the help of yoga or jnana. All their sinful activities and material desires are automatically destroyed. Those whose hearts are absorbed in the blackish form of Sri Hari, who is the ocean of nectarian bliss, and who enjoys pastimes in Vrindavan, are never burnt by the unbearable fire of material existence. The poisonous snake in the form of Kali cannot harm them at all. Right, so Kali Yuga can't bother them, so we can't use the excuse. So let's Kali Yuga for who? Those exalted renunciates who always meditate upon the lotus feet of Sri Hari are never again drowned in the ocean of material existence. The darkness of ignorance in their hearts is automatically vanquished by the moonrise in the form of knowledge of the Supreme Lord, a properly relished nectarian spiritual bliss, which is eternal and inexhaustible. The author now describes the process of meditation on the Lord. First, one should meditate on Vrindavan, which is filled with intoxicating dancing peacocks, flowers surrounded by bees, attractive fruits, and various enchanting trees with newly grown buds on them. One should meditate upon the desire trees of Vrindavan, whose flowers are like beautiful pearls, whose leaves are like jewels, and whose fruits are like precious stones. One should meditate So you're starting with Vrindavan in general, like this, and then you're getting to the forest Vrindavan. One should meditate on a golden temple which is situated under those desire trees. It is decorated with beautiful canopies and built with golden foundations, hundreds of jeweled pillars, and decorated with waving flags, surrounded by enchanting flower garlands. Within that temple is a jeweled throne, and on top of that throne is a pink lotus flower consisting of 8 petals. One should meditate upon Sri Krishna seated on that throne. He attracts the minds of everyone and is the abode of all happiness. His face is peaceful like the moon, and his graceful form bends in 3 places. His handsome body is blackish like the new rain cloud, is illuminated with ornaments, and is pinkish due to being smeared with pollen from the fully blossomed lotus flowers of the Jamuna. He is served by the gopis who are fanning him with the corners of their garments. Decorated with ankle belts, His lotus feet are just like fully blossomed red lotus flowers and soft new buds. His beautiful toes are decorated with brightly shining moon-like toenails. Several auspicious signs, such as lotus, barley, flag, and anchor, adorn his lotus feet. His knees are fat, attractive, and round. His thighs are just like banana trees. He is dressed in yellow garments, and his waist is decorated with a golden belt. His chest is broad and decorated with three lines. His lotus-like navel is decorated with rows of bees in the form of bodily hair. So no one's skinny. Right? Twiggy look is not the look, right? Right. In other words, Mother Yashoda cooks nice. He doesn't look skinny. Right?
When you say so, Krishna is dressed always in yellow garments.
Yes. Yeah. Never blue jeans. Amazing. But yeah, doesn't wear blue jeans.
No, but it's okay.
Not even yellow jeans. He just doesn't wear them.
Only yellow. So we need to.
If it's a good thing, why not go with it?
Yeah. It's better to dress if you're wearing yellow.
No, no. For the Pancharatra thing, then you dress all nice things, different. Okay. Yeah, it's not a problem. But if you have an outfit where he has that yellow and like that, that's fine. But it's silk. Also. His smooth chest, which is smeared with sandalwood paste and kunkuma, is decorated with stars in the form of pearls, with the sun in the form of the Kustuba gem. His brightly shining hands are decorated with pink nails, and his arms are decorated with jeweled bangles and bracelets. And so he wears pearls and he has the Kustuba gem. He wears a garland of fragrant forest flowers on his neck. This garland is made of wonderful flowers like kadamba, lotus, and cotton tree, and also new buds and leaves from the tulsi plant. While embracing his neck, the garland devotedly reaches down to his lotus feet. With a desire to drink his honey, the bumblebees are attracted to it. A garland of gunja is beautifying his neck, and it appears that all the stars have assembled there with a desire to constantly serve his moon-like face. The nectarine smile on his copper-colored lips is situated on his greatly effulgent face, and it appears that he is emitting his heart's ecstasy in the pretext of smiling. His cheeks are illuminated by the effulgent of his golden earrings, which are bedecked with jewels. His eyes are like wide blooming lotus flowers, and his eyebrows are decorated with crooked lances. On the tip of his beautifully raised nose is situated a bright pearl. On his forehead is the mark of tulsi, mixed with musk and cow urine. He wears a shining jeweled crown on his head. His head is decorated with soft, curly hairs. He wears a peacock feather on his crown. Standing in a bending posture, he is happily manipulating his fingers on the holes of his flute and filling the flute with nectar from his lips. He is a fresh youth, expert in numerous arts. He defeats Kamadev by his beauty. He is the abode of sweet pastimes, the ocean of enjoyment, the ocean of transcendental happiness, the ocean of transcendental mellows, the only abode of compassion, and the only Lord for pleasing the three worlds. The gopi's restless blue eyes are like bees which are always relishing the honey from his lotus eyes. Blue meaning that blue like Krishna's color, because they're seeing Krishna and Krishna's always there, so that's why their eyes are that color. Blue, we don't mean North European. That makes sense. Sorry. What do you call it? Night King blue. None of those things, right? The gopi's restless blue eyes are like bees which are always relishing the honey from his lotus feet. And he is also happy by relishing the nectar from their lips. He is surrounded by the cowherd boys who are equal to him in age, beauty, decorations, qualities, speech, characteristics, and flute playing. Right? So that's the from the liberation of Vaikuntha, where they have the same form as the Lord, Sarupya. So you see they're equal to him in all these things. But they have different forms to match in the pastimes. Right? The other is because the Lord is so special, everyone looks like him, and then that's a nice thing because it's about that service to the Lord, he's the greatest. But here it's about the different, about the rasa, so all the different flavors and colors and all these different things. So they're all different colors and this and that, but it all matches. They're equal to him in that it matches with him. On hearing the sound of Krishna's flute, the oxen and white cows continue holding morsels of grass in their mouths. They look at him without blinking their eyes. The calves continue drinking milk from the udders of their mothers while the mothers slowly approach and surround the Lord in four directions. Right, so you have that funny, mother's moving slowly forward, the calf is slowly kind of, you know. So you have that, but you also have the thing in other places where it mentions that the calves also stop, you know. But in this one is that the cows in that, they look at them with blinking eyes. They're just holding morsels of food and stop chewing, and then they're just slowly coming forward to Krishna. The calves are coming along. One should meditate on Sri Krishna, whose bodily color is like a new cloud, whose lotus feet are in harmony with his pastimes, who possesses a threefold bending form, who has a smiling face, whose earrings swing to and fro, who holds a flute in one hand and places his other hand in the hand of Sri Radhika. In this way he dances in the midst of the gopis, who dance and clap their hands. In this way, intelligent persons should meditate upon the Super Soul, Lord Vasudev, who is situated in their own heart and in the heart of everyone. Those who constantly absorb their minds in the form of Lord Sri Hari, who drink the nectar of his holy names that are attributed to him according to his various pastimes and qualities, and who become fully satisfied by the ever-increasing nectarian bliss, will never again be burnt by the fire of material miseries. Those persons who constantly remember Sri Hari in this way will be devoid of all miseries. Their hearts will be absorbed in thoughts of the Lord. Their senses will be conquered. They will be faithful, and they will become maddened by excessive ecstatic love. Right? So you conquer the sense by absorbing the Lord. You get rid of all miseries by remembering the Lord. So it's all by hearing, chanting, and remembering the Lord. That's the whole point. So we see here is that that whole thing is then you have, it's the same principle. The jnana works like that. Vidya vrindaranya kalpa drumara. In the forest of Vrindavan, then there's the kalpa vriksha trees. Right? You mentioned Vrindavan, then the kalpa vriksha. Divyad Vrindada, you call it the Drumad, Srimad Ratnagara Simha Sanasto. Right? So then, seated on a jeweled throne, Sri Sri Radha Srila Govinda Deva. So then, Radha and Govinda are there, Prashtalibi Sevi Manu Smarami, and all their associates around performing activity. So that's, you see, that's how meditation is. This is very detailed, but that's how it works. It always works from that. It starts from the place. Then it comes down to the asan, and, you know, the place, the situation, the asan, then the associates, the services going on, that's how it works. We don't just start with Krishna, because otherwise then what Krishna you're going to be remembering. So it's this Krishna. Right? To some extent. Six, serving the lotus feet of Sri Hari. Right, so now Padasevana. The author now describes the symptoms of serving the lotus feet of the Lord, right? So first he mentioned that devotees are engaged in these nine processes, then the glory of those who hear and chant, now those who remember, and now those who are serving the lotus feet. Worshipping Sri Hari, Sri Krishna, with opulent ingredients for his pleasure by those who are attached to this activity is known as Padasevana. Those who are fully absorbed in Lord Krishna and carefully serve his lotus feet day and night, cross beyond the dark ocean of ignorance and obtain the most auspicious abode of the Lord, which is rare even for the great sages to achieve. Those who serve the lotus feet of Sri Krishna with full attention never again become absorbed in the ocean of material existence. They are never defeated by the threefold miseries, and they conquer the five kinds of distresses. The knowledge of the absolute truth, right? So it says five kinds, and we're already having enough problem with three, right? Adiyatma, Gaudi Bhauta, Gaudi Daivika, and now we find out there's two more. knowledge of the absolute truth automatically manifests within their heart. Because if you know Krishna, then he is the absolute truth. The lotus feet of Sri Krishna are served by those who are always steady, grave, tolerant, and devoid of pride in their own bodies. So that's the qualities of those who are absorbed in this kind of work. So we see it's not even the aspect of the deity worship, all the rules and the whole thing. It's just a matter of what they can do to please the Lord with nice ingredients. So that's included in deity worship, but they focus on this aspect. He has a mentality. That's the thing. All these are mentality. Not that all these things are done in any one of them. But the point is, it's a specific mentality that's prominent. That's why it takes on this quality. So it says. The author now describes the process of deity worship. So that's all in, so then, 7, worship of the deity. Okay. The devotees accept the deity form of the worship of the Lord, which is made of stone, wood, or metal, as being directly the Lord himself. In this way, without discrimination, they worship his lotus feet, which are meditated upon by Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. Those devotees constantly and opulently serve the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord with various fresh ingredients. The Lord is uniquely situated on a divine throne within a beautiful temple, and his lotus feet are meditated upon by Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. In the early morning, those devotees wake Sri Hari, who is sleeping happily. They chant appropriate mantras and prayers for waking the Lord and play sweet musical instruments. By performing various duties for his satisfaction, they serve the lotus feet of the Lord, which are meditated upon by Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. Those pure-hearted devotees serve the lotus feet of Sri Krishna according to proper rules and regulations by offering many opulent ingredients such as jeweled ornaments, exquisite garments, fragrance, sandalwood paste, tilak, kumkum, incense, and gilan. Those devotees cleanse the temple of Sri Hari, bathe the Lord, wash his lotus feet, offer him a throne, flower garlands, garments, ornaments, palatable foodstuffs, and beverages. They fan him, sing, dance, and play musical instruments, perform ceremonies, and put him to rest. In this way, they serve the lotus feet of the Lord, which are meditated upon by Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. With undeviating attention, and according to their capacity, the devotees constantly serve the Lord by making nice gardens, building temples, digging ponds, making wooden beds and palanquins, putting up canopies and white umbrellas. To please Sri Hari, the devotees hold numerous festivals every month. They hold ecstatic festivals on every occasion and continuously perform Sankirtana. According to their ability, the devotees serve the Lord during the summer by placing him on a boat, by taking him out on procession, by applying sandalwood on his body, by fanning him with the chamara, by decorating him with jeweled necklaces, by offering him palatable foodstuffs, and by bringing him out into the pleasant moonlight. During the rainy season, they keep the Lord in an opulent place, bathe him with pure warm water, offer him puris cooked in ghee, vegetable soup, and cakes made with tasty condiments. Right, so it's puris and then nice vegetables with nice sauces and things like that. In this way, they serve Lord Sri Hari according to their ability. During autumn, the devotees serve Sri Hari exactly as they do in the summer. During the winter, because at that time it's also pleasant and nice, you can go out, and the evenings are very nice and everything like that. So it has the same kind of, you can do the same services. During the winter, they put a fire inside the temple room, and they sometimes take the Lord outside to enjoy the morning sun. They bathe the Lord with warm water, dress him with soft woolen clothes and opulent outfits, offer him newly grown rice, and offer him incense according to their ability. Means all these according to the ability, but also incense according to the ability, because incense can have various ranges. Because incense means that what produces the fragrance. So we have the sticks of incense that we use, and you can get some ones they smell okay, nice like that. but they're not so expensive. And then you have ones, these hand-rolled ones that are done like that, they get quite expensive. And then within that category, you have people that make really, use really good oils and are ridiculously expensive. Then you have, it's where they just burn those woods, like agaru and wood and all that itself. Like, let's see, what do you call it? Anyone know what a dinar is worth?
Dinar.
193. So basically half. So if it's something is 300 rupees, it would be, I mean, 300 dinar, that'd be like 600 or 700. Huh?
60,000
rupees. Huh. Okay. So, you have, how you say? I'm not sure what it is, but not much. Like a handful of agaru wood costing that much money.
$1,000.
Yeah. And that's just the okay stuff. Then you have the good stuff that the sheikhs use. That, you know, that's ridiculous. That comes in thousands of dollars. So that's why it's according to one's ability. So the idea is there should be some nice fragrances there. Some nice way you can make some nice fragrance for the deity. Right, you make the flowers are there, some other nice fragrances and that. And so you do, like you see also sometimes, like in Kerala, like because it's hot there, and also they put a very nice bowl with water in it, and then they put the flowers and float them in there, so that you get the fragrance of the flowers, but they don't dry out. They keep getting the water and all that. You know, so, you know, just whatever works. You know, the duna, the, you know, all those kind of things, all these different things. The idea is according to your ability, what facilities you have, try to make something nice smelling for the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Well, the deity worship, it is done in the spiritual world?
All these things are done in the spiritual world.
Even if Krishna is present?
As soon as he walks in, all right, get rid of the incense, like that, take down the garlands, hey, get rid of all these flags, Krishna came, can we help you? I thought I'd smell some of this. Oh, sorry, that's only when you're not here, it's only the deity worship. Okay. In other words, the activities of the spiritual realm that the devotees do in their natural love for Krishna, that's formalized as Pancharatra that we follow here. Just so that we do it. Otherwise, you know, we wouldn't even think about something nice smell. Right?
We hear, like, how the cowherd boys, when Krishna goes to the forest, they bring all the best available, decorate him.
Yeah, there. In their own way. Like Mother Jashoda dresses him, and when he goes out into the forest with the coward boys, they also dress him.
Yes.
Because they pick peacock feathers up, this, that, and then they do.
And in Vaikuntha?
Yeah, the 16 items is regularly mentioned about the 16 items. Mm-hmm. It's just, it doesn't have the formality. So here we see there's a mood. Because all this is all deity worship, but you see there's a mood to do it in service to the Lord. That's the thing of Padaseva. They just want to please the Lord. So that's the idea here. Okay. In the spring, the devotees take the Lord on a procession to a flower garden, offer him drinks made with honey, decorate him with fragrant flowers. Right? Because the honey works there because it creates heat. You know, but it'll be some nice thing. It'll be a cool drink, but honey is heat. Because the spring, the day is pleasant, but the mornings are cool, and you're just getting out of the winter, and so then you need these extra things to heat. Just like in rainy season, we'll say it's warm, but you still bathe the Lord with warm water, like in winter. Right? You know what I'm saying? You know, in the summer, in the fall, you don't really have to worry about that. Is that it? Says, you know, the normal water is the proper temperature. Okay. You know, it won't be that hot. Won't be, you know. But decorate him with fragrant flowers. Offer him colored powders and a garland of forest flowers. Right. So the holy hour. In this way, they serve Sri Hari according to their ability. Like a wife who constantly serves her husband, The devotees serve the lotus feet of Sri Hari with attachment, affection, respect, honesty, humility, and eagerness. The Lord is constantly served by the pure-hearted devotees with love and affection, respect, attachment, and devotion. Just as if he were their own sons, their friend, their wife, their husband, their bona fide spiritual master or benefactor. Right, so that's the thing, that natural affection that's there. What we see is it has that nice, all the nice things, attachment, affection, respect, honesty, humility, eagerness. But it has, you know, it has that soberness to it. But it's very, you know, natural. In this world, the Supreme Lord Madhusudan is not controlled by gold, diamonds, chamara, sandalwood paste, flower garlands, attractive dresses, sweet rice, or drinks. Rather, he is controlled by his devotees' spontaneous, undeviated, loving, devotional service. Right? So that's why those qualities are meant, because that's always that nice mood. Therefore, simply by his desire, I will serve as lotus feet either at home or in the forest with various opulent ingredients or with easily available fruits, flowers, and water. If he's at home, various opulent ingredients, he's in the forest, whatever's easily available, flowers, fruits, and water. Like he won't go to, you know, some ridiculous thing to go get this flower because it's about the offering of the flower. So it's in his area that's easy to do, in his sphere of that, and that's what he collects, what trees are there, not the tree that's on the other side of the mountain. You know what I'm saying? So the sadhus on that side of the mountain in the forest, they'll offer that flowers. They won't offer your flowers. Right? Only the less intelligent people of this world perform sacrifices to serve the demigods, who are situated in the heavenly planets. Intelligent persons serve the kind-hearted saintly devotees, who are directly empowered by Lord Krishna, the master of the demigods. Whether devotional service to Hari is present in the heart or not, one should serve the saintly devotees. Devotional service to Hari is present in the heart. One will attain service to the saintly devotees. So it's so as mentioned, so we're saying, oh, but, you know, what about service to the devotees? It's mentioned all this about Krishna, but it says if you have devotion to Krishna, then you can have devotion to the devotees. Right? If devotional service is present in the heart, one will attain service to the saintly devotees. But it also says, whether you have that devotion or not, you should still serve the devotees. Right? So by serving the devotees, even if you don't have any devotion to the Lord, you'll gain devotion to the Lord. By having that devotion to the Lord, now you'll serve the devotees. Yeah. So it's a perfect system, I'm saying. Sustainable. If devotional service to Hari is not present at heart, then by serving the saintly devotees, one will attain devotional service to Lord Hari. By constantly serving the lotus feet of great devotees, one's heart becomes purified. One's association with material existence is totally uprooted, and one obtains the treasure of loving devotional service to Sri Hari. The particles of dust from the lotus feet of great devotees are the cause of receiving devotional service to Sri Hari. Those dust particles are like fire for destroying sinful reactions, and the bridge for crossing the material ocean. The broad-minded devotees serve the lotus feet of the Lord by prescribed activities. In this way, they become peaceful, purified, and worship the lotus feet of Sri Hari, which are controlled only by love and affection. Right? So the devotees, then everything connected too. That's why they said they serve him, they take care of the dham, nice things like this, they do all these things. So we see is that the core is that it's about that mood of worshiping and pleasing the Lord. Worshiping his lotus feet, like that. So then everything connected to the Lord. 7. The worship of the deity form of Sri Hari. The author now describes the process of archana. To properly worship Sri Hari with 16 ingredients according to the rules and regulations is called archana. Right? So, you know, according to the rules. Right? Intelligent persons no longer perform Vedic sacrifices to please the demigods. They simply worship Sri Hari with love. Although they do not worship the demigods, sages, forefathers, human beings, or other living entities, all these entities automatically worship them. Such intelligent people can sufficiently satisfy the three worlds. The Supreme Lord, Sri Hari, is the supersoul of the entire world and the original cause of everything. It is not, therefore, at all wonderful that the three lords' worlds are automatically. It is not, therefore, at all wonderful that the three worlds are automatically satisfied if he is worshipped. Just as the decoration on one's face are automatically seen on one's reflection in a mirror. Right? So, the devotees, even though they're not worshipping all these five debts, they just worship the Lord, all those personalities of the five debts, they worship that person. And if you're worshipping Krishna, you get it is all the activities that one would gain from worshipping everybody is automatically there. Lakshmi is the goddess of fortune. Her blessings are sought after by the demigods, and she is worshipped throughout the three worlds. She personally takes shelter of a person who worships Sri Hari, who is the ocean of nectar and bliss and is worshipped by Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. The lotus feet of Sri Hari are sought after by great yogis. Those who faithfully worship the lotus feet of Sri Hari become liberated from the bondage of their fruitive activities, and they attain the ocean of transcendental nectar, which lies beyond the ocean of material existence. The members of all the varnas and ashrams may take initiation and worship Sri Hari according to the rules and regulations prescribed in the shastras. Okay. So we see is that you have that attitude that worshipping him, he's the supreme. By worshipping him, everything is accomplished. You see, the padasevan is more about just pleasing the Lord by doing nice services for him, like that. So we see is that these all go together. Right? But a slightly different mood, like that.
So now by following that, it seems that it is more easy to develop the proper attitude and to act according to the Akshara principle.
Then according to?
To the process of Akshara.
Yes, but even here it's that it has a mood.
Yes.
And then you know the rules and regulations. You learn them for proper persons. You're taking initiation, you know, like that.
But you see that yes, the primary aspect is more prominent.
Is the mood, yes. Mm-hmm. But until that mood develops, you just serve the devotees and worship the deity, chant Hare Krishna, you do all these things. And then these naturally develop. And we see it's also Lakshmi, she takes shelter of a person who worships Sri Hari, right? Because she's always worshiping the lotus feet of the Lord. Right? So those who worship his lotus feet, then she takes shelter of those. So it nicely goes together. 8. The process and glories of offering obeisances to Lord Hari with one's body, mind, and speech, and the process of offering prayers to the Lord. Because the prayers means you're offering obeisances and that. That's why it mentioned it was, if you were trying to perfect yourself by Vandanam, then you had to be careful about properly offering obeisances.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
So then, so it also includes like that.
And
okay.
Lakshmi is about Lakshmi Devi.
She's Padasevana, so therefore, it means you're worshipping the Lord with Lakshmi if she takes shelter of someone who is worshipping the Lord. Because she's always worshipping. So she, in other words, you're trying to make everything nice for the Lord. That's Padasevana. And that includes then everything connected to the Lord because Krishna is not worshipping the Lord. So therefore worshipping the devotees, worshipping his paraphernalia, Tulsi, the Dham, you know, like this. Like that. And the technical points of worshipping were 16 items, and that's technically in the archana. But there's an attitude there. Right? So that's what he gets into. He's not getting into the details of the 16 items, because that's understood. But some of the others, like some of those things to do for the deities, you know, to show that you're trying to make a nice arrangement for the Lord. Nice parks, nice processions, nice all these
things.
It
says there that Lakshmi will take shelter of that you are more serving the Lord. It doesn't say that person who is serving the Lord will get more gold and more facilities and more.
No. That's why the thing in the pot is saving it before. It's not about that. Worshipping the deity is not about that. So it's all. That's why she takes shelter. Because of the attitude. Okay. The author now describes the symptoms of bandhana. Right? So it mentions these symptoms, right? Because that's what he's going through, the symptoms of these. He's not saying so much the technical points there, he's saying the symptoms of someone who does these. offering obeisances to Sri Hari with body, mind, and speech by persons who are surrendered to his lotus feet, is called Vandana by the learned devotees. What is the use of cultivating knowledge or practicing yoga birth after birth? It is extremely difficult to practice. By offering obeisances to Sri Hari, Sri Krishna, people can give up all material activities and attain the supreme destination. If I offer obeisances to Sri Krishna, I will become purified without taking bath in a holy place. I will neither become afflicted by miseries, nor will I become frightened by the punishment of Yamaraj, nor will I be dragged by the fruit of activities into the path of material existence. With their bodies, learned persons offer obeisances to the Lord, who is situated in all objects and is full of nectarian bliss. Right? So it's in all different things they can see Krishna. So they're always able to be connected with Krishna. With their minds, they offer obeisances to Sri Krishna's lotus feet, which are constantly manifest in their heart. With their speech, they offer obeisances to the Lord, who is situated in the heart of all living entities. Right? So he's situated in the heart of all living entities. That's then why they speak about Krishna to others. Right? In their own heart, then with their mind, they're remembering the Lord, offering obeisances there. Because Krishna's in others' hearts, then for them, through speech, then that's how he's respecting the Lord there. The author now describes the process of Vandana. Let me take shelter at the lotus feet of Sri Krishna, which are as beautiful as newly blossomed lotus flowers. They are illuminated due to the effulgence emanating from his moon-like toenails. They are decorated with golden anklets and are as soft as newly grown buds. Let me take shelter of the lotus feet of Sri Hari, which are as precious as the most valuable jewels, as soft as fresh butter, and Shirisha flowers, and which are marked with the signs of flag, lotus, barleycorn, rod for controlling elephants, and many other similar markings. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of Sri Krishna, which are decorated with the marks of a flag, a thunderbolt, a rod for controlling elephants, and a lotus flower. They are doubly bright because of the rays from the Lord's moon-like nails and the effulgence from his anklets and jewels. To achieve the highest ecstasy, let us offer our respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of Sri Krishna, which continually follow the cows in Vrindavan, and which move slowly due to the pride which is born from his dancing pastimes. Right, because the whole thing is it's all about rasa. It's not that he's getting somewhere and that's where then there'll be the taste. It's going out with the cowherd boys and going to the places and coming back with them. And then, you know, so he's with the residents of Vrindavan, they see him off and he goes out and then they do different paths. Then he comes back and they meet again. Right? So therefore then he can move, you know, slowly. Right? You know, I mean, he's not doing it in like slow motion or something. He's not, yeah. But the point is he doesn't have to rush. He doesn't have to rush to get back. Oh, we're late, and you know, because he's out to please himself. So, the point of being back and go duly because that's the nice time to come back. The day, you know, the day is over, but it's still light. You can move around and do everything like that. So it's a very nice time to come, right? So then coming back and then all the things that can go on there because now you're getting ready for the evening. You'll meet everybody, right? Is the occupation is you know after the morning you know programs and before Gold Duli. Right? Does that make sense? Those lotus feet are the shelter of all sweetness. They are filled with transcendental mellows of ecstasy and are served by the gopis of Vrindavan. By meditating and offer prayers in this way, one should repeatedly offer obeisances to Sri Krishna by falling flat on the ground. He is the ocean of bliss. Sober persons should give up pride, which is born of education, austerity, high birth, wealth, and assets. Considering these things to be enemies, they should offer obeisances to the Lord by falling flat on the ground. They should offer obeisances to everyone, including insects, outcasts, hogs, and the blades of grass. Knowing that all that means, but according to the position, so you don't have to do a dandavat, you know, obeisance to the blade of grass. It means you're respectful, you deal properly with them. You know, it's Krishna's grass. So then, knowing that all animate and inanimate living entities, from an insect up to Lord Brahma, are energies of Lord Krishna, learned persons should offer them obeisances. Thus, by constantly offering obeisances and gifts of love to Sri Hari. Exalted devotees serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the spiritual master of both animate and inanimate entities. Okay, so that prayers to the Lord, because the Lord is so wonderful, that attraction, that's why you want to offer obeisances. You're offering obeisances because He's so wonderful. Because He's so wonderful, you're offering prayers. You know, so these all go together. Right? 9. The glories of the Lord's service in the form of surrendering one's body, mind, wealth, lust, rituals, and religious duties for the pleasure of Lord Sri Hari. The Lord, the author, now describes the symptoms of dasyam. To offer one's body, intelligence, senses, speech, mind, religious duties, lust, wealth, and all activities for the pleasure of the Lord, with love, is called dasyam. Just as all the universes are included in the transcendental body of Lord Vasudeva, and all the directions are included in the sky. Similarly, all the processes of devotional service are included in dasyam. All the 9 processes of devotional service, namely hearing, chanting, remembering, serving the lotus feet, worshipping, offering prayer, serving as a servant, serving as a friend, and fully surrendering, are present within the principle of dasya. It means that I identify as a servant of Krishna, I do everything there. Because we see, ones that say, no, that's the lower, the higher, but we saw when the gopis were offering their prayer, making their points to Uddhava, then they're talking about how they're just the maidservant of Krishna, the queens, the same thing. Lord Sri Hari's servants always hear the holy names and qualities of their worship of the Lord with love. They glorify His holy names and qualities with joy and remember them constantly. They serve His lotus feet. They worship Him, offer Him prayers, make friendship with Him, surrender unto Him, and perform all activities for His pleasure. Sri Krishna's service is rare even for the sages and demigods headed by Lord Brahma. Those people who serve Him are not ordinary. They are godly personalities and are even worshipped by the demigods. When one obtains this position as a servant of Sri Krishna, he no longer desires independent happiness, peace of mind, or even the position of Brahma. Because peace of mind, you just want everything nice and peaceful because of the amount of goodness. But if you're served as servant of Krishna, you're just ready to do service at all times, whatever is there. Right? He no longer desires independent happiness, right? It always is in connection with Krishna. Peace of mind, because it's always about engaging in the service of the Lord, or even the position of Brahma. Only those who are always equipoise and who are free from material desires, false proprietorship, and false ego are qualified to serve the Lord. So there's no material desires, no proprietorship, it's not yours, right? And false ego. So they don't identify with that, I'm the controller and enjoyer. And the friends, so all these different aspects. So that peace formula we see is that they very nicely have that. But for them, it's not, they have peace, but it's not about peace. It's about serving the Lord. They're qualified to serve the Lord. For the living entities, there is no superior goal, no superior position, no superior profit, and no superior happiness than service to Lord Hari. Quote, let me give up all material enjoyments which are born from illusion and constantly serve the Lord, who is the Supersoul and the Master of the entire universe. End quote. With this mentality, intelligent persons surrender their bodies, minds, intelligence, senses, and speech in the service of the Lord and constantly worship Sri Hari with great attachment. Pure devotees always engage their bodies in worshipping, serving, and praying to Sri Hari. So praying means the body, means they're offering the prayers, they're speaking, they're offering the obeisances. They engage their minds at His lotus feet, their speech in describing the glories of His names and qualities, their intelligence in acquiring knowledge about Him, their eyes in seeing His forms, their ears in hearing His glories, their tongues in relishing His remnants, and their noses in smelling the flowers that have been offered to Him. The servants of Sri Krishna offer their religious duties, wealth, lust, wives, relatives, and homes for His service, and thus they please Him by all their endeavors. Therefore, devotees should perform religious duties for the pleasure of Sri Hari, use their wealth for the Lord's sake, offer their desires for the service of His lotus feet, and worship Him by engaging their wives, friends, and other relatives in His service. Okay, so it's all things that can be connected to Him and everything like that. So they're not doing anything outside of what's recommended, because otherwise how do you connect it to the Lord? How do you offer it to the Lord? Right? But it's the attitude of wanting to offer to the Lord. Therefore, they offer all these nice things. Okay. So, look here.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura ki.